Theme this month's called March Muddiness. Turn to your neighbor and say, March Muddiness. I love it when it's muddy. March Muddiness. My title today is called Palm Sunday Is. Palm Sunday Is. What is Palm Sunday? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go to Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. Luke 19, starting in verse 28, and it says this. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. Verse 32. They went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said, and sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over for him to ride on. Verse 36, as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him, and when he reached the place where the road started down, the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. In verse 39, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Palm Sunday is. Now, we have a couple things today. This was made by Josie for us. So if you can thank Josie for making these wonderful little paddles for us. If you get a little warm in here, if the preaching gets intense, you can start waving yourself like this, which comes from one of the verses we read today. And then Aunt Shirtle made this right here. So, oh, and Becky, Sherry and Becky. Palm Sunday, waving palm branches, right? So we got a couple little fun things. If you don't like your neighbor, you can smack him. But you don't, that's really not what it's for, right? Palm Sunday is. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Passion Week. What is Passion Week? Well, Passion Week is the week, the one week, the last week that someone spent alive. His name was Jesus. And really, I think if you were healthy, whole, you know, weren't lacking anything, and you were going to spend your very last week, it kind of tells what kind of person, what kind of character, who you are. If you had given a full bill of health and you were healthy, you were so healthy, and you were told you're going to die a week from today, I wonder what all of us in here would do in that week. I wonder what things we would plan. I wonder if there's a bucket list. It would say a lot about us if we knew what day we're going to die and what things we thought that we needed to do in that week. This week, Palm Sunday, today, starts the day where Jesus knew he had 1 week to live. Well, what did he do? What did Jesus do? Did he go out and get a manicure? Nothing wrong with that, right? But did he go out and get a manicure or a new outfit? Did he go out hanging out with the boys playing pool? Eh, maybe. Jesus spent the last week of his life preaching, teaching, sharing biblical stories, getting down on his hands and knees, loving, caring. Every waking moment of his last week, it was devoted as a symbol and a picture that the life that he lived, it wasn't for himself, but the life that Jesus lived, it was for who? It was for all of us. So we see Passion, or we see Palm Sunday is number one. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Passion Week, and it's a powerful week because it's a statement and it's a symbol that Jesus came to live, not for himself, but he came to live for us, and as a reflection of how we should live our lives. Secondly, we see Palm Sunday is fulfilled prophecy. Every single thing that Jesus did, he fulfilled prophecy. Jesus in his lifetime fulfilled over 300 prophecies. 300 prophecies. Now, prophecy, if you're wondering what a prophecy is something that is spoken about the future, about a person that will come to pass, right? So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was men called prophets, women called prophetess, right? And if God had given them something like a revelation, they would speak something that was going to come to pass, right? So there was over 300 things spoken about the Messiah and what he would do when he would come to this earth, Jesus fulfilling every single one of those 300 prophecies. If you were to just to take 48 prophecies, not the full 300 that Jesus fulfilled, just 48, in one man, one life, the chances, the odds that one man would fulfill 48 out of 300, it is 1 out of 10, 1 of the 10, and then there's 157 zeros behind the 10. 1 out of 10 by 157 zeros, that 48 prophecies would be fulfilled by one man and one life. Jesus didn't fulfill 48. He fulfilled over 300. And Palm Sunday is one of these prophecies because he said, and we read it this morning, that it spoke about, here comes your king riding in on a donkey, right? A donkey's colt. And so Jesus fulfilled prophecy. And then you take a step back and you think about the words fulfilled prophecy. There's nothing more than in our human life, one of the very words that we want to feel is what? Fulfilled. And the day that you live, the day that you wake up, the day that you go to work and you get home, you want to come home feeling fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every single thing that he came to do and offers that when we give our life to him and follow him, we all find the fulfillment that we're looking for. Palm Sunday is a big one, the humility of Jesus Christ. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the King. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes the way, the truth, the life. Here comes the bread of life. Here comes the light of the world. Here comes the door for the sheep all to enter in. Here comes the good shepherd. Here comes the resurrection and the life. Here comes Jesus saying, I'm the true vine, riding humbly into his last week of life on a donkey. Every time Jesus, you see him, the way he moved, the way that he spoke, the way that he interacted with people, he was a very, this is God, but yet very humble, humble person. And it blows our minds. Philippians 2:2 says, if you have your Bibles, I don't have it on the screen. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, he says, make me truly happy, wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Good thing none of us are. Don't try to impress others, which none of us try to do. Be humble. Think of others better than yourself. Don't look for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Philippians 2, verse 7. Instead, Jesus gave up divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Verse 8. He humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on a cross, and God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What does Palm Sunday say about him? Jesus was a humble man. We know that Jesus, when he was here, and he's spending his last week of life, the Last Supper. Again, that's one of those great things to think about. You know, if I'm going to have the Last Supper in life, in my life, what's it going to be? You know, definitely filet mignon is on top of that list. It could be a little, you know, demi-glaze on top with some asparagus, roasted peppers with rosemary, right? If I'm going to have the Last Supper, I mean, I'm hoping that meal is really good. And so Jesus, part of one of the things in his last week of life, there's this thing called the Last Supper. As they get to the Last Supper, all of them come in. But there's one difference that happened on this Last Supper. Typically, every home had a servant or a person that would wash hands, feet when you come in through the door. But for some reason, whether they gave that person the night off, there was no servant or slave who was there to wash the hands and feet. And so as all the disciples came in and they had the preparations and they got the food all ready, Jesus noticed that as these guys, and this is something just like all of us, we all wash our hands before we eat, right? After we use the restroom, we all wash our hands. Every single time we touch something dirty, we all wash our hands, right? Because we're all super cleanliness kind of people. Jesus noticed that as they got here, and so gross for them to walk in the house, and they didn't even pay attention. Hey, my feet are dirty. My hands are dirty. And they start eating. Jesus looked around, and he noticed not one out of the 12 took initiative to say, uh-oh, we're dirty. So what did the Son of God do? He said, you know what? I'll step in and I'll be the servant for you. And so he gets the bucket of water. He gets that. And it says he washes his disciples' feet. We see Palm Sunday. We see Passion Week. Jesus, the Son of God. Every picture, every symbol. What is one of the biggest things that describes the humility? Maybe we don't want to get dirty. So who will? Jesus will. You don't want to get up. You don't want to take initiative to do the dirty work. Jesus will. And so Jesus in this story, he gets down and he washes dirty, disgusting, dirty feet. Something that none of the other men did. And maybe they were hungry, right? We know when we get hungry, we got a lot on our mind. I need to fill this tummy quick. Right? We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just were so starving and they had a headache and they're a little bit grouchy, because that happens to some of us when we get hungry. I need food. But for whatever reason, not one person, not one disciple, it didn't come to their mind, and they didn't take the initiative to step up to be the servant. So Jesus said, I'm going to humble myself to be the servant for you. And another place it says, Jesus said, I didn't come so that you would serve me, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, God's only Son. I didn't come so that you would serve me. I came to serve you and to be servant. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. And he said, that's right, that's what I am. But you would do well to follow in my example. So we see that Palm Sunday, it shows Jesus and the humility of everything that Jesus said and everything that he did. And in this moment, many people, they got so caught up in the moment. They got so caught up in this moment because, yeah, think about it. Right before this, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, someone who's in a tomb for 4 days. Jesus, who this is one of his good, good friends. He loved this guy. He was one of his best friends, BFF. Lazarus was at the top of the list. He was favorite on his cell phone for sure. Lazarus was dead, but Jesus raised him to life. And so part of Palm Sunday, it said that people, the disciples and the people who saw what happened, they started telling everybody. And you got to picture for a minute, I mean, this is a big deal, like to see a man come back from life who was dead for 4 days. And so all these people rush and they get out and they get caught up in the moment. And as they're caught up in the moment, they're waving palm branches. And we know the palm branch is the sign of victory. And they're proclaiming victory. And in their heads, they're saying, oh my gosh, this is the Messiah. This is the one. There's so many things that got wrapped up in the moment because they were praying and hoping for a Messiah to come and save them from their sins. They were hoping for Messiah to come and to deliver them from the Romans. They were hoping that a Messiah would come and deliver them from physical hardship. And so you can see why in this moment, all of them were wrapped up in this moment. And they're laying down, I didn't bring one of these as a visual aid this morning, but they started laying down their garments, it said, and their cloaks and their coats. So they were taking off their symbol of authority and their identity, and they laid it down on the ground because they said, here comes the king, and I will give up my identity, and I give up what's important to me for the king who is riding in on a donkey. We're waving branches. We're saying victory. Victory is coming. We're crying, Hosanna, God save us. And then I'm laying down my identity. I'm giving up who I am and my authority for this new King, Jesus, who comes riding in. And so for in this moment, it says that many people, they started pursuing and following Jesus. Many people, and it's so funny because as many people started following and pursuing Jesus, you know what it did, and this happens sometimes, is it inspired jealousy inside of the religious people. And so the religious people, as they see all these thousands of people chasing after Jesus, they're like, oh, they're all going after him. Oh my gosh. Boo-hoo-hoo. You know, the sad thing is for the religious leaders in this day, it was really hard for them to see Jesus. It says that they were full of envy, that they killed him out of envy. They wanted Jesus to die because they envied him. They themselves did not have the power that Jesus possessed. The religious did not have the love, the grace, the mercy that Jesus possessed. These religious people, they understood the law. They read, they understood. They were part of the first five books of the Bible. The Ten Commandments, all the laws that they made up, they were part of that. But even in their knowledge, you know what happened with the religious people? The knowledge made them prideful. The pride, the insecurity, the envy of Jesus, it blinded them from seeing who Jesus was. At every moment and every turn, they got sick and disgusted of Jesus because he was doing things that they couldn't do. He was saying things that they never heard. He was hanging out with people that, heck no, would I hang out with them. Jesus was crazy. He was amazing. You know, honestly, for every one of us, if we were to take time to really study over and over just the person and the relationships and the love that Jesus had, every single person on this planet would be chasing after him because Jesus truly is amazing. And honestly, those who oppose Jesus, who don't want anything to do with Jesus, is because two things. Either one, they're hiding things in their life that don't want to be exposed. Or two, they have pride and knowledge and insecurity, just like the religious. And it stops them and it blinds them from seeing all that Jesus was. These men were so jealous that they had to kill Jesus Christ. You know, jealousy is like cancer in people's bones. And I don't know about you, but there's many people today getting cancer. And I wonder, you know, even in, as this was spoken in some of the Proverbs that talks about anger and bitterness and jealousy and what it does to people's bodies, how many people don't get a grip on having a whole and healed heart? And those things, when they become out of control, I wonder if those negative emotions turns into things inside of people's bodies which causes sickness. There's a reason why we're not supposed to be jealous. There's a reason why we're not supposed to be insecure. There's a reason why you're not supposed to be angry, because it literally does kill people from the inside out. Palm Sunday is a display of the crazy love of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's crazy. God is so crazy. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read Luke 15, starting in verse 1, Luke 15, starting verse 1. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees, teachers of religious law, complain once again, that he was associating with such sinful people. He even eats with them. Oh my gosh. Verse 3. Jesus told him this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he's going to call together his friends, his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And in the same way, there is more joy in heaven when one lost person repents, returns to God over the 99 others who are righteous in heaven straight away. This, describing this crazy, reckless love of Jesus Christ. And think about it, if we were a shepherd and we had one sheep that wandered away, many of us here would say, I still have 99, right? I still got 99. So who cares? One took off, right? I got 99 other sheep that I can take care of. And for some people, they're thinking, that's being wise. That's being, you know, that's being a respectable person. I'm going to protect and watch these other 99. God describing his love of humanity, he said, I go as far as I can go. I will travel as far as I can travel, and I will do everything possible to help every heart, mind, and soul find the truth. And the truth is, God is so in love with every one of us. God is so in love with humanity. God is loves, in love. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives. God is, has this crazy love of God for us. Palm Sunday is, one, start of the Passion Week, two, Jesus fulfilling prophecy. Three, displaying the humility of Jesus. Four, showing how people get so caught up in certain moments. The jealousy of the religious. The love of God. And lastly, now we get to break down all of our fun symbols over here. We started March Muddiness a few weeks ago. And you can see that every week our container has been filled with mud and water, kind of displaying the symbol of life, that in the beginning, that when you were born and you came and you took that first breath, God gave you a basic shell of life. God gave you a basic version and a foundation, gave you dirt. We're made from the dirt of the ground, right? And so he gave you that basic foundation. But you know, just like this container, you notice that there's still some what? There's still some space left here. And so many people, what they take with their basic foundation, their gifts, their talents, their beauty, their smarts, everything, no matter what was given to all of us in the beginning, a lot of people, they keep looking for something and they keep pouring stuff into their container. And what happens, because honestly, many of us, if we would choose to have a dirty car or a clean car, I'm pretty sure most would choose clean, correct? If most of us would choose a dirty house or a clean house, probably a clean house, right? Most people in life are searching for something, a purity, a cleanliness in life that can only be found in Jesus. But in search, because many don't go to Jesus, they're looking for something in themselves. They're looking in other people. They're looking for it in hobbies and sports. They're looking for it in money. They're looking for it in cars. They're looking for it in their jobs, their occupations. No matter what they pour into their container, what happens, the clarity and purity of life that they look for, it didn't give me what I was looking for. It made my life muddy. And many of us, we've seen in life that some of our choices makes life muddy. Isn't it so fun? I don't know about you, but digging your hands in mud and just chucking it at people. Isn't that fun? Isn't that a blast? Some of us don't want to get our hands dirty. But we sure get our mouths dirty when we talk about other people. Yeah, we don't want to go there, right? Jesus, no matter how muddy we've made ourselves, he's never afraid of anything that you've ever said and done. Jesus has never turned his back on you. He is faithful and will always be faithful, recklessly in love with you to chase you down every single day. God, Jesus, they love you. And your dirt, it doesn't scare them one bit. When Jesus came to the earth, he got his hands dirty. He got into the mud and he brought light, life, clarity, purity to every single person who accepted him. Second week, we were lifting weights. I don't know if you guys, now this is a 3-pound weight. Woo! I'm pretty sure most of us in here could lift this 3-pound weight, right? We all lift 3 pounds. It's pretty good, right? Matthew 7:13 says this. You can enter God's kingdom through the narrow gate. Highway to hell, it's broad. The gate, it's wide. Many who choose that way. But the gate to life, it's very narrow. The road is difficult, and only a few find it. When it comes to life situations, many of us have grasped the concept. If I have bills to pay, I'm going to have to work it out. If I got things stacked up, piled up, if I have things in life that need to be dealt with, we get that we got to work it out. But for some reason, when it comes to spiritual matters, most people don't want to work it out. We're just expected to be given, automatic. Sometimes we expect as a believer, we show up in church. Jesus said he came to not be served, but to serve. Sometimes Christianity, life, church, the gospel, everything, the road, it's broad and it's wide and it's easy to go to hell. It's easy to make bad choices. Sometimes some of us in here, we get bored and we make a bad choice. Some of us, we get hurt, offended, we make a bad choice. Some of us, we get angry, we make a bad choice. Some of us, jealous, insecure, make a bad choice. And we just keep lifting those weights we know we can handle. This is what I'm going to be. I'm never going to change. This is who I am. Just keep working out with three. I may never get the volume that I want, but that's okay. It's okay. I still got it in my hand, right? I'm still working out. I might not get any bigger. I might not really get fit, but this is who I am. It's okay. You know why? Because it's easy. It's easy. But it's a narrow road. Oh, man, going from 3 to 10, that's a difference. It is. But it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. Jesus said, there's only a few that find it. Why? Because they're going to work it out. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he called the disciples. Man, they weren't just instantly transformed into Jedi level 10 master disciples. 3.5 years with Jesus. Every single day, 7 days a week. They had church with this man 7 days a week, preaching, teaching, singing, right? Sometimes it's hard enough for once a week, but the disciples for 3.5 years, they lived and breathed Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had to go to heaven and God said, I want you to go to church 7 days a week? I wonder how many people say, that's just too tough. That's just too hard. Forget heaven. I'm going to keep on my easy, my light road, right? 3.5 years for the disciples, spending with Jesus, living with Jesus, listening, being taught, learning that everything that God was going to ask and demand was going to have to be worked out. It's going to have to be worked out. And today, Palm Sunday, we have our branches. And how many of us have seen, for every tree, do trees just poof out of the middle of nowhere and kind of rest in the air and float around? Or do trees get planted? It really does matter for a tree, for a seed that's going to go into the ground. I need to be in good soil. I need to take care of myself. Yes, this physical life matters. Brushing my teeth, flossing, getting my hair combed, going to the barbershop every 2 weeks. Those things matter. But I wonder, is there something more important than just hair, dress, living life? The spiritual life that God has. John 10:10, what did Jesus say? I came to give you life, life to the fullest. A beautiful palm tree. There is nothing like seeing beautiful palm trees. There's nothing like seeing a sunset and you have these palm trees that are just beautifully standing there, strong and powerful. There's nothing like seeing beautiful fruit trees in bloom. Roses that are so beautiful with color and life, all representing the symbol in life that God gives to us every single day. But we don't grow unless we are planted. It takes more than just showing up. It takes more. How many of us have learned life takes effort? And I wonder on Palm Sunday, how many of us are putting in the effort that God is asking us to? And I wonder on Palm Sunday, if I'm really invested in putting myself planted where God wants me to be, into the ground of life. One of the stories that Jesus shared, Matthew 13:18, and I'm going to close after this. It says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the truth, the kingdom, but they don't understand it because the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed in the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns, representing those who hear God's word, but too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represent those who hear, understand God's word, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times as much. If we were to just to take that story right there and think about that, Jesus describes life in kind of four stages of life. And the last one was the fruitful description of someone who has found life, who's found him, who's found the giver and creator of life. And people who are fruitful and they seem to blossom wherever they go. Blossoming, fulfilled, having purpose, walking with dignity and character everywhere we go, everything that we do. Ends with the spot of those who hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest. And this morning, imagine if you had seed, and the seed that you have, it's worth millions of dollars, and you got to take it and you got to plant it in the ground. How much care and effort would we put into taking care of that seed? If we put that seed down and went in the house, because how many of us know there's nice things that we have sometimes that if other people would like to steal, right? And you take your seed, you put it outside, you walk in the house, you come back and it's gone. You've been ripped off. As many do every single day, the moment that truth comes, the moment that God speaks truth into our life, it says that the evil one wants to come and snatch away that truth so that you don't hear it, so that I don't hear it. God's whole purpose for us is to be fruitful, colorful, and full of life. But we don't get that when we let other things rip us off from the truth. Jesus said there's this seed that goes into the ground, but the ground is shallow, doesn't have enough room and soil. It's hard. It's hard-hearted because many people, we know that life is hard and it's gross at times and there's horrible things. You know, people who go and shoot up, you know, concerts. How many of us have seen and watched and heard about disgusting things that have happened in this past year? People doing horrific things to people that are happening over in the Middle East. But even here in America, in this wonderful country, how many things are happening and have happened to us, been said to us, sad, tragic, horrific, causing our heart, instead of being soft and ready and to receive the truth, how many hearts are hard? I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the truth. Many people come with their heart hard and blocked. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be free. Because how many of us know if you get injured and you need crutches, you know, one day you have to learn to walk again without the crutches. People and things that happen in life, some people want to hold on to those crutches. Even after they're healed and whole, they still want those crutches. And so there's so many people that don't want to be healed. They don't want the full life because they want to be a slave to whatever it is that binds them. And then Jesus says there's things, thorns in life that are sharp, they're pointy. They cut, they make you bleed when you get too close. The pressures, the worries of life, the pleasure of sin. Jesus said all these things stop us from finding the fruitful life that God has given to us this morning. March muddiness. Yeah, we can take mud and we can, there's a lot of different places that we can stick ourselves. But God has maybe something better. And so this morning as we get ready to wrap up and pray, couple other verses. Deuteronomy 24. For the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you. He will fight against your enemies, and he will give you victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus our Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable. I love that those words. My dear brothers and sisters, be strong. What does it take to be strong? Working out with the big boys, right? What does it take to be strong? Choosing to make hard choices, even when they hurt. What does it take to be strong? I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to make the hard choices. I'm going to do the right thing, no matter what. And be immovable. I'm not going to let anything in this life, I'm not going to let anything that I see move me from the place that God wants to what? Plant me. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And last, Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Happy Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is so many things. Talks about victory, talks about waving branches, talks about Hosanna. God save us. God save us. The funny thing about that, as these people were crying out, Hosanna, save us, they wanted freedom from political reign. They wanted freedom from the Romans. And so as they're crying out, Hosanna, they're saying, God, save us from this political, horrible situation we're in. They were saying, Hosanna, save us. Their hearts cry. They were tired of the physical hardship of life. And so when they said, Hosanna, they were saying, God, save me from the physical hardship and the things that I'm going through. Hosanna, save us. And they expected Jesus just to come riding in, swoop them all up, take them away, and life would be perfect. How many of us seen life isn't just that easy? And something that they expected Jesus to be, he was the king. He was the king of the Jews. And Jesus did bring victory. And Jesus did bring the victory and freedom that he promised. May not be the way they expected, but he was everything that they were. So I encourage you this morning, you have your paddle to remind you, cool you down. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You have your Hosanna to remind you the victory. Sorry, this one's a little bit dirty. The victory in the life that God gives, but victory and freedom, it's only when I'm planted in the right place. And it's always the right place, right here. Let's pray.